What can we learn from the faith of the patriarchs? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us. We're currently in a series on Hebrews called Hebrews Partners with Christ. I'll come back at the end of the program to tell you how to get your hands on some of our free resources, so stay tuned for that. Let's jump right into today's topic. Here's our Grace in Focus discussion.
Thanks for tuning into the show. I'm so glad to be here with
Bob
and
Ken.
Hey, and we're going through the book of Hebrews, and I hope you've been listening. If you haven't been listening, you've really been missing out. But I guess what? Good news. You don't have to miss out. You can listen to the previous episodes at iTunes.com. Subscribe to Grace in Focus. I want to get those subscription numbers up. Or definitely download these shows from our website, faithalone.org. We're also on a thing called Stitcher. Right, Bob?
That's my sewing class.
Yes, it's for sewing and theology. It's a very interesting kind of
Stitcher,
app.
Stitcher, yeah.
No, it's an app for listening to podcasts. We're in Hebrews 11, and we're going over the heroes of the faith. And this is just a great example of how Hebrews is just filled with Old Testament imagery.
Yes, the whole chapter 11, the author of Hebrews is taking us through the Old Testament, really all the Old Testament, and even, I believe, the period between the Old Testament and New Testament. And so the author of Hebrews is well acquainted with what the Old Testament teaches.
And 17 through 30, we'll go through the rest of Genesis all the way up to the book of Joshua. So the first six books in the Old Testament are in these next 14 verses.
Yes.
Well, before we get to verse 17, let's talk a little bit more about verse 16. We didn't get to totally cover that verse last episode. Here's what it says. But now they desired a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So one of the things that we were saying last episode was that the patriarchs, or these people in Genesis, by faith, got a good report from God. And not everybody gets a good report necessarily.
Yes, I think the way he ends verse 16 is a very important point for believers today, where it says God is not ashamed to call people like that to be called their God. A lot of people would look at a phrase like that and say that he's talking about all believers. But the fact of the matter is that God can be ashamed of his people. We see this in 1 John 2:28. That we should abide in Christ, we should walk with him so that when he returns, he's not ashamed of us. And I'm reminded of how in the Old Testament, or even in other places, it says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God was proud to be called their God because they were people who took him at his word and lived their lives that way.
Yeah, ultimately, this is understatement, right?
Yes, I'm very proud of it. Yes.
Right, it's like when Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He means I'm proud of it.
And wouldn't it be great if when we see the Lord, he would be proud of us?
Amen.
And that is Hebrews 11.
That's it.
Yes.
Well, an example of someone of whom God was proud was, of course, Abraham, verse 17, 18, and 19, where Abraham was tested in offering up his promised son, Isaac. I mean, that's a huge test on anyone.
Yes, and when we look at the original readers, the test that they were going through, Abraham was faced with this great test that God had promised all these things through him, through Isaac. So here are these promises again. And he took God at his word and even concluded, even though he had never seen anybody physically raised from the dead, that God could even do that, that God would raise Isaac from the dead if that's what it took for these promises. But Abraham was convinced that God was going to do what he promised, that he would have numerous descendants through this boy.
And this is a great example, by the way, of, the book of Genesis doesn't say anything about Abraham believing in the resurrection. So this is kind of insight given to us from the new,
right,
of the old. Verse 19, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So that's kind of an interesting indication of belief in the resurrection in the Old Testament.
It is. In fact, all of Hebrews 11 emphasizes the Old Testament belief in bodily resurrection. How could any of them receive a future reward, be in the kingdom? How could they have a city? How could they have a country? How could they have all the things Moses, we're going to see, was looking for a reward? None of that makes any sense without bodily resurrection. So it's not just this section, it's the entire Hebrews 11.
Well, I believe I heard Arnold Fruchtenbaum say, every single promise of God implies resurrection.
That's good.
Because all of these guys, as we read before, died without receiving a lot of these promises God made, which implies that God has to raise them back to life in order to make good on his word.
Absolutely. And when we get to 11:35, we're going to see it in particular. They desired a better resurrection. They knew there was a resurrection for believers, but a special resurrection for those who are going to be partners with Christ.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder what, when we read about these folks in the Old Testament, what they understood. I think they understood a lot more than we give them credit for.
I think they did too.
So this forward-looking faith of things not seen is also demonstrated by Isaac, who blesses Jacob and Esau concerning things to come.
That Esau?
Did I say Esau or what did I say? Esau?
Esau was good.
Esau or Esau?
Esau.
Esau.
Esau. Esau. It depends. You're Canadian originally, so maybe it's Esau.
Like, how do you guys say
participle?
Participle. So if you're a participant in a marathon, are you a participant? Is that how you guys would say it?
Okay, now you're messing. Okay.
Somehow I think we Canadians learned English better than you guys.
Think you did.
By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. I don't understand. I'm just curious about that one.
I think the main point in these verses is that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau when he was old and approaching death. And then in verse 21, Jacob did while he was dying, blessed his sons. And then Joseph did it while he was dying. And Joseph was talking about the Exodus, when the Exodus happened, to bring his bones back. In all these cases, what you see is that even death does not prevent God from fulfilling his promises. God is going to fulfill his promises, and that is what all these men do. They knew that these things were coming, even to the point where Joseph says, listen, I'm dying, but I know that I'm going to be in the land forever because this again goes back to the resurrection.
Right.
You take, when God does what he said he's going to do 400 years from now, you take my bones with you. Wow, and this is faith. This is living for things that they have not seen and taking God at his word.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. Apparently, this is his parents' faith, not Moses' faith.
Moses had some precocious faith.
He did, because they saw he was a beautiful child. Well, thank goodness. What if he was ugly?
Yeah.
What if Moses was butt ugly?
I think he wouldn't have made it. We wouldn't have heard
him. There were difference. Yeah.
No,
that's
John.
That's a Disney.
John, that's Disney. A different, yeah.
Okay, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I mean, that to me is always amazing. I mean, Pharaoh was like one of the greatest rulers on the whole earth at that time.
Richest man.
He's like Bill Gates' son-in-law.
Right, right.
And he rejects that to be a slave?
Right.
Wow.
And you,
because
you,
he believed something greater was in store for him.
Verse 26, you didn't hit that last one.
Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward.
There it is, reward.
Isn't
again.
It there?
Yes.
And by the way, Ken, notice it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Do you think Moses knew about Messiah?
Well, the author of Hebrews would say he did.
Sure.
Yes. Yes. And again, we see that Moses not only knew about the coming Christ, but he knew about rewards that the coming Christ would give.
And he may well have met him at the burning bush. He may have met him in the tabernacle. He may have met him on Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
He may have met him on many occasions.
Yes. We're reminded, for example, Adam and Eve, who did they walk with in the garden?
Right.
Yes, Christ. And so how much of this was passed down orally to the following generations?
And by the way, this is around 1400 B.C., 1440 1480 B.C., somewhere in there.
Moses'
time. The Exodus is around 1440.
And I think certainly we need to say here, for example, in 23, that the parents of Moses did not fear the king, the most powerful man on earth.
Right.
And so what is the message to the original readers of Hebrews?
Don't fear this persecution that's coming on
Yes. Whatever the government is doing to you, do not fear it.
I was just talking to a friend at a classmate of mine, and we were talking about our professors and whether or not they had what their views of LGBTQ issues were. And we were just wondering if they were afraid to even express what their views are because they're teaching in a secular university. And if you express conservative views on that issue, you're liable to get, you know, censured or fired or put on leave or suffer some type of persecution, ostracized from the academic community. It sounds like the book of Hebrews' advice would be, don't be afraid of that.
Yes, be faithful to the Lord in the midst of that. Yes.
By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. So again, not fearing, just like his parents didn't fear. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them.
Yeah, that's the night when all the tenth plague, when all the firstborn died. But Israel was passed over because they put the blood on the doorpost.
Yes, and we see the judgment of God, that by faithfulness you avoid the discipline and judgment of God. Yes.
And, of course, they also went through the Red Sea by faith.
Verse 29.
And the walls of Jericho fell by faith.
And with
that's
the,
Joshua.
Yes, with the Egyptians and the walls of Jericho, what we see is the enemies of God. Remember chapter 1, that the king is going to place all his enemies under his feet. Their defeat is a foregone conclusion. And the enemies of the king were threatening these original readers. And so there's this message here that the king is greater than all the enemies that you face. Jericho, the great Egyptian army, whatever it may be, don't fear them. Don't fear the enemies of the Lord, because he's the King of Kings.
Our king's better than any king.
There you go.
Don't fear the wrath of the king, but you should fear the wrath of God.
Yes.
If you draw back.
This whole chapter, what you should fear, whatever generation you live in, you should fear the disapproval of our king. That's what you should fear, not Pharaoh's wrath. And I remember reading one time, don't you know, as they were marching around Jericho, verse 30, that the people in Jericho were mocking and laughing them.
Yeah.
For those first 6 days, you know. And
until
so,
the walls came down.
Yes.
Well, so. Thanks, Ken. That is great. And next time we're going to talk about overcoming by faith in Hebrews 11, 31 till verse 40. Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion about the faith of the patriarchs. What an encouragement that is. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax-deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to delve into the subject of how we can overcome by faith. So tune into that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus. Thank you.